Good morning. That's quite a crew just walked out that door. That's wonderful. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. I saw Paul yesterday here at church. And he says, Randy, what are you going to preach on tomorrow? I got to pick out the songs. And I think he said, we're going to preach about the cross. Man, just take us to the cross. And he did. Thank you. We're there. We want to stay there. How many of you enjoy reading? Got some readers out there? Yeah, quite a few. I thought so. My office, I've got a lot of books in there right now, and I've got books piled on top of books and everything, and I thought, man, I got to do something about this. I guess Danita's message on clutter got to me, and I thought, I got to do something here. So I was trying to rearrange things and bought a bookshelf and found one at a really good price that even matches the desk. Wow, I was so impressed by myself and got the bookshelf and stood there, but trying to rearrange books and stuff and clean up some of the clutter. And I went to Walmart and bought some bookends and all this kind of stuff. And I remember this Christmas, my son-in-law-to-be, Adam, got this, I don't know what it's called, but it's like an electronic book. Have you seen this? It's like a little notebook thing. And it, what?
Kindle.
Kindle, thank you. I'll trust you. That's the name. I have no idea. So Kindle, is that what it is? Kindle? Okay. Where, you can download your books on this thing. And it's just yay big, and he's showing it to me. And you can buy these downloads. It'll hold thousands of books in this little thing. You push the button, it turns the page. It's really fun. But I'm going, wow, to imagine. And the idea is that you can carry your whole library with you on this dinky little notepad thing. I'm thinking, woo, that's really cool. But that's in my, maybe in the future, I don't know. But amazing. But anyhow, I'm trying to fix my bookcase and rearrange my books and stuff. And I'm thinking about, bookends. And I'm thinking, in the Bible, there are some definite bookends. There's a beginning and an end, and all this stuff has to happen in the middle. There's a significant event that starts it, and then you got all these things, and then there's a significant end to it. And I like bookends. And I got thinking about that. And it's amazing, and I guess it's, maybe appropriate for today, that one of the bookends we find in the Bible has to do with an earthquake. And I thought, of course, about Haiti, what's been happening there. I thought, oh my goodness. So I started to look into that and got more and more interested and intrigued by this idea. So we're going to look at some bookends this morning. And each bookend has an earthquake in it. And see how it plays out. But before we do that, I want to have a special time of prayer for Haiti. I stuck something in the mailbox. I see some of you had it already. But we received a word from our General Secretary, Stan Nofsinger, issuing a call for all of us to pray, especially for what's going on in Haiti. And as I read more and such, I realized that we have three churches in Port-au-Prince. Okay, we have three congregations in Port-au-Prince, our denomination does. And I was reading Newsline, the Brother Newsline and such, and they're talking about they've heard nothing from anybody. They don't know who's alive, who's not alive. They communication was terrible anyhow. But just this idea that they're us. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. I think all the times I've gone to annual conference, and there's always folks from Haiti there, always. I love meeting them and saying hi to them. But they're us. And we certainly want to pray and lift them up. But I don't know the status now, of course, and what's going on there. But we have three churches in Port-au-Prince. And, of course, you've heard some of the reports on the news like I have. They think maybe up to 100,000 people have died. Just like that. Within seconds. Wow. It's just, And the idea that was on the news, they showed folks, they were upset. It's human nature. We want to give a loved one who's died a proper burial. I went to a funeral yesterday where that's important. But they had this mat. They threw 7,000 people into a hole and covered it. Just a mass burial. The pain and the hurt that's going on in Haiti right now. So let's pray. Let's pray for him. Father God, I just want to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ in Haiti. Lord, I know we have three churches. Well, yours, we've got three churches of our own in Port-au-Prince and all the other churches in the area. And Lord, missionaries galore. I heard on the news, Lord, several times short-term mission groups. People, who go there like for a week to work. They were coming and going as always in Haiti like they always do. Many of them were killed or injured badly. Father, I've heard of church leaders that were killed, people being flown to Florida to hospitals to try and help, Lord. It's just a human disaster, Father. And I don't understand this stuff, but I know there's earthquakes all around the world all the time, and why and all that I don't understand. But Lord, I just lift up to you, not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, but the whole country, Lord, of Haiti, Lord, the whole island. I just lift them up to you, Lord. And I can't imagine the pain and devastation they're experiencing, Lord. It's like another Katrina kind of thing. And Father, I pray for the church. Lord, I pray for the church that they'd be able, in spite of what's happening, somehow rise up and be the church and be a witness, Lord. Lord, I pray for the families that are grieving. I pray for the families who have lost contact with loved ones and don't know where they are and are confused and worried and can't sleep at night, Father, I'm sure. Lord, just all of that, I just lift it up to you, Father. And Lord, for us, what can we do? Lord, we can pray. Sure, we can pray. I know there's a great need, Lord, for money. They want to buy. They need water, Lord, food, and just basic shelter, Father. May we be able to rise up and help, Lord. But Father, again, I put this whole thing, Father, in your hands. And ask you, Father, please, for the church to rise up and to be the church, to be your witness, to be your hands of love and care. And Lord, we just give you, somehow, Lord, out of this, I pray you'll be glorified. Somehow, Lord, out of this tragedy, Lord, your name will be lifted on high. And Lord, people will look to you and find you. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to look at two earthquakes. The first one happens in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Start with verse 14. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. And then he said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day and abstain from sexual relations." See, he'd just been up on the mountain, and God talked to him. And God said, "Get ready on the third day. Be ready for the third day." And God told Moses, "Tell the people, wash your clothes." Kind of maybe an act of purification, but get ready, because something really big is going to happen. So on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. And everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Moses and the Hebrews have been freed from Egyptian slavery. They've gathered at Mount Sinai to receive instructions from this God who set them free, this God of Abraham. And the presence of God on the mountain includes an earthquake. Now, its bookend is in Matthew. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, we'll start with, verse 45. We're at the crucifixion. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. It's interesting, back in Exodus 19, also there's darkness. At one point, Moses went up and down the mountain several times. He's the only one that could. God gave him permission. And the one time it says that when he went up to the mountain, he was like just disappeared in this darkness. And the people were scared for him. So there's darkness there too. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. That's the earthquake. and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Jesus had just died on the cross. Immediately, there was an earthquake, powerful enough to split rocks open and open up graves. So here we got these bookends. And what makes the bookends? We've got an earthquake way back in Exodus 19. We've got an earthquake in Matthew 27. What's the connection? And there is one. Consider first the observations of William Nicholson. He wrote a little teeny paperback book that I found in our library where he talks about this. And he sees it as contrasts, Sinai, Calvary. He says Sinai was the prophecy of Calvary. Calvary was the fulfillment of Sinai. Sinai portrayed the sinner's wretchedness and destruction. Calvary, the sinner's recovery and blessedness. Sinai was God's firm voice of condemnation. Calvary, God's gentle, fatherly voice of pardon and peace. See the contrast? And they're bookends. They're bookends. The bookends are a study in contrast. At Sinai again, this God shows up. They didn't know who he was. They knew they were descendants of Abraham, but then this God of Abraham shows up. He shows up with smoke and fire and darkness, thunder and lightning, and an earthquake. The mountain's trembling. And the Bible tells us the people are absolutely terrified. Think about what just happened in Haiti. Just like that. Your building is shaking and it collapses. Talk about terror. Well, back there at Sinai, they're going through the same kind of emotions. They're scared out of their wits. The Bible says that this holy God that just rested on this mountain can't stand sin. This holy God only allows Moses on the mountain. And he tells Moses to tell the people, keep your distance. Keep your distance. If you read that whole section in there, God says, any person or animal who touches my mountain will die. Who just touches it will die. Because I'm a holy God. You are sinners, and I hate sin. And sin will be punished. It's a terrifying scene. It seems that God is communicating the horror of sin and his hatred for it. And he wants these people to know beyond a shadow of a doubt who he is and how he feels about sin. Remember, this is just the beginning. He's about to give them the Ten Commandments. He's about to form them into a nation. This is just the beginning. It's that one bookend. And so it seems like maybe the earth, the mountain's shaking. I wonder if it was shaking in pain, that the mountain is actually reacting to the presence of Almighty Holy God, and the mountain itself is just shaking in pain of the effects of sin. Which is interesting, because remember what God told Adam and Eve after they sinned by eating the forbidden fruit? God made a statement about the earth. Genesis 3:17. Cursed is the ground because of you. I'm imagining a mountain realizing its creator just came down, and the mountain's realizing, hey, I'm cursed too, not just people, but so's the earth. And reacting to the holiness of God. I wonder if the mountain was experiencing the effects of sin and it just shook. I don't know, but I wonder. That's the one bookend. Now the other bookend, Calvary. Darkness again, same as what happened at Mount Sinai. There's darkness. The Bible says darkness had overcome the land for 3 hours. It wasn't just an eclipse of the sun or something. No, eclipses don't last very long. They're quick little things. This was 3 hours. And Jesus, God's only son, was suffering in that darkness for 3 hours, hanging on the cross. He paid the price. He was suffering through the curse of sin. And at the end of those 3 hours, things happen fast. Jesus cries out, and he dies. Now, Matthew just says he cries out in a loud voice and he dies, but John tells us what he said. John 19:30 says that Jesus said, "It is finished," and then he dies. With that, he bows his head and gave up his spirit. At that very moment, the curtain of the temple was torn. Remember why there was a curtain in the temple? Remember what it did? It was a barrier. It was a separation. It separated what? The Holy of Holies, like on the mountain, the Holy of Holies where God is, separated people, you and I, from that area. Just like on the mountain, God said, "Don't touch the mountain." That was a separation. Instead of a curtain, it was a mountain. Don't touch it, you'll die. If you and I, regular folks, we went past that curtain, boom, we were dead. Only the priests could do it, and they had to go through all kinds of purification to do it. And on the Day of Atonement, who was able to actually go in there? The high priest, right? Once a year, he was able to actually enter, with God's permission, the Holy of Holies. Well, Moses could go up the mountain with God's permission. See, the similarities are full. But yeah, this curtain now is torn. On Sinai, we couldn't get close to God at all. At Calvary, the barriers are taken down, and now we can. Sinai, God says, "Keep your distance. I'm holy, you're a sinner." At Calvary, God says, "Come on. Your sin has been covered by the death of my son. You're forgiven. Come on." At Sinai, we have to be separate. At Calvary, we can be, you can be my children. You can be my friend. You could be my adopted son or daughter. You can approach me. Everything's different. But there's the two bookends. And the earth shook, just like it did at Sinai. There's an earthquake. By saying it's finished, Jesus had finished the work of salvation. So now there's no more need for temples and priests and high priests and sacrifices and the law. And the law started at Sinai, but at Calvary, Jesus fulfilled the law. There's our two bookends again, surrounding earthquakes. On the cross, Jesus fulfilled the law. So I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder now, if we got this earthquake going again, that if this time the earth shook with joy. At Sinai, maybe it shook with pain. But at Calvary, the earth shakes with joy. I wonder. Joy. Knowing Jesus brings joy. I feel lots of joy this morning. I couldn't wait to get up this morning. This is good stuff. I didn't write it, that's for sure. Jesus did. God did. Anybody here have joy? A joy in heart? Do you have joy? Why? What's your source of joy?
The Lord.
The Lord. Stand up. You have joy this morning? What's your source? Stand up. Who else has joy this morning? I'll come back to you. You have joy? Why?
Lots of things.
The Lord. Stand up. You have joy this morning? Where does it come from? Stand up. Don't you have joy? What's joy this morning? Lucian, you got joy? Yeah. Stand right there, brother. Okay. I understand what you said. Stay right there. You have joy this morning? What's the source of your joy?
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Stand up. Dave, was your hand going up? You have joy this morning?
My leg is healing pretty good.
And so?
So it's joy.
Who's healing it?
The Lord.
Amen. Stand, if you can, stand up. Okay. Qualify that one. Somebody else have joy? I hope so. You have joy in your life? You have joy?
Yeah.
Where does it come from?
Trust in God.
Stand up. Somebody else have joy? I know what you're thinking. I'm not going to stand up. I got you scared. I got you trembling. It's an earthquake. No. There better be more than this or we're in bad shape. Chrissy stood up. Melanie standing up. Mary's up. Vicky's up. You have joy? I was so excited, I woke up before the alarm clock went off this morning. That's a miracle right there. I'm one of those guys, the alarm clock goes off, I hit that snooze button, bam! I woke up before the alarm. I was so excited. Joy. It's amazing, an earthquake can bring joy. It can bring disaster, pain, or it can bring joy. Well, how can an earthquake bring joy? Only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. We experience earthquakes in our lives every day. Tremors. Something falls apart. Relationships fall apart. I lose my job. My finances fall apart. We experience earthquakes all the time. But Jesus can turn that earthquake into joy. Into joy. Can you imagine? You can go sit down. This is exciting. I praise the Lord. Can you imagine? Oh, what time? Oh, I got time. Good. Can you imagine? Mark Hoffman and I were talking about this yesterday. The tombs opened up. You imagine walking in town and there's Uncle Harry. We buried him 20 years ago. You run up to Uncle Harry, I tell you, and he goes, Uncle Harry says, forget it, listen, I got to tell you about Jesus. Aunt Susie, we buried her, you know, way back. Great Aunt Susie. She's walking down the street telling people about Jesus. Ah! Joy. Absolute joy. We live in a world, and you know this, and this breaks my heart, we live in a world, and it's out there, and it's out of these walls. They're still at Mount Sinai, terrified of this God, this all-powerful God. And they don't know what to do. They're afraid to live, and they're afraid to die. Their world is falling apart. They're stuck at Mount Sinai. They don't know the joy of a risen Lord. They're suffering terribly. But most of us, I think, in this room stood up. We know the joy of the Lord, so what's our job? What's our responsibility? To tell them. Absolutely. Take them to the cross. Where they can find, they still got earthquakes in their life. But the difference is terror versus joy. And the difference is Jesus. It's Him. It's all about Him. That is so exciting. So exciting. Interesting about this earthquake at Calvary. In Haiti, an earthquake hits and everything just, of course, crumbles. The crosses never fell down. They're still standing. Ever wonder about that? It's interesting. I would think an earthquake would shake things up. I mean, these rocks are splitting open, that the crosses would have collapsed. They didn't. And then lots of people, I think, were buried around Golgotha. There were tombs all over the place because Jesus was buried around there. So it's like you've got lots of tombs, and it says the tombs of the saints were open. Well, what about the other tombs of the folks that I guess weren't saints? Did the earthquake kind of go around them? You know, I mean, I'm just thinking about this stuff. It's a miracle. First of all, this earthquake's a miracle. Apparently, it didn't open up all the tombs, just those of saints got opened up. And the crosses still stood. They didn't fall down. What's that say? Well, to me, it says God is even in earthquakes sometimes. I mean, there are natural causes for earthquakes, but this one was a supernatural one. God was in control. He wants to be in control of your life just like He can control earthquakes. Maybe the earthquake you're going through right now, maybe God's in control of that. Maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe a purpose for it. And I wonder what it is. And even through earthquakes, we can find joy. Joy that comes from Him. Stand up for a minute, would you? Turn around and recite with me. Look at the wall, because our responsibility is up there written on the wall that we believe God has led us to. You can put your glasses, sorry. Well, let's read together. Our mission statement, I have a vision statement, I should say, that I believe that the Lord is saying, this is what I want you guys to do. Together, we will passionately pursue and demonstrate the transforming life of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Share the joy. Share the joy.